Today is Independence Day. I sure hope that you're going to have a good day today. I hope that you're going to be in church today, even though it is the 4th of July, and I hope that you will enjoy the preaching of the Word of God. We're going to change our study just a little bit today to look at this Independence Day and what it means to us and where our founding fathers started and where we are today. And we're going to do that by going back into Joshua chapter 23 for our scripture today. And so please that you go back into your Bibles to Joshua chapter 23 and look that up, and then we'll be ready for the study. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope now that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. And we will begin, first of all, with prayer, because we're going to be referring back and forth to the Scripture. And so please that you will follow with me now in prayer, and then we're going to start the study. Father, we thank and praise you today that we can come together and enjoy this time. I just ask for your leadership and ask for your will and your power and your strength today, dear Lord. Please that you will show us your will and show us your way for this fine, great land that we live in. Father, we need to return to you. There is no question about that. We have left you and deserted you. And I hope, dear Father, that you will, that we will humble ourselves and turn to you and plead that you will forgive us for our sins, for our trespasses, for us taking credit for all the glory of the greatness of this country, because you are the one that gave it to us. And yet so many today, Father, deny that and deny you. And so today, Father, we're going to enjoy a study, and I just ask that you will guide and lead us through this study, prepare our hearts, and show us what we should be doing in service, praise, and honor to you. And I just ask, dear Lord, that you will show the folks that are listening that they need to be saved, and there's only one means and one way of salvation, and that is to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Ask him into their hearts. So please today, dear Father, they trust in your Son, the Lord Jesus, and salvation can be theirs, and then they can begin to serve and praise and honor and enjoy each day. So please, dear Lord, now, we just ask for your strength, and just bless us now through this study. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We begin today, again, a little bit different than usual, much different than usual, but being the 4th of July, and we need to get this country of ours back in line with what our founding fathers intended it to be, and that was God-led. And so please that you just enjoy the study today. And I'll give you a little history lesson here in starting, and that is that Independence Day is the birthday of the United States of America. And you know those things, but sometimes just to say them. And Independence Day is the anniversary of the day on which the Declaration of Independence was adopted by the Continental Congress, July 4th, 1776. The founders of this new nation considered Independence Day as a very important occasion for rejoicing. Now, I want you to listen to this. John Adams said, "I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty." That's what the 4th of July should be, by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty, because it is a day of deliverance. That's how they looked at it. That's how they saw that. Independence Day was first observed in Philadelphia on July 8, 1776. The declaration was read, bells were rung, bands played, and people rejoiced. What a great day that was, I'm sure. A day of celebration, a day of rejoicing, and as John Adams calls it, a day of deliverance. You see, the important thing is that John Adams gave credit where credit was due, and that is to God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Again, I quote John Adams, "It ought to be commemorated as a day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty." That's what it should be. That's the 4th of July that we ought to have. And if you want God to bless this land and this nation, we need to fall on our faces and ask Him to forgive us and begin to turn our hearts back to Him, that we can praise Him and honor Him and build this nation back to its greatness that it was in a day past. We have a deliverance from sin that gives us freedom as well. Independence and power is given from our God when we come by faith to Jesus Christ and have a personal relationship with Him. We need to understand that, yes, we have enjoyed this independence and this freedom. I am afraid that it's a freedom and an independence that is leaving us. Some deny the presence of God and the power of God, and you want to take freedom away from the citizens of this land. You just try to take God, our God, creator of heaven and earth, you try to take Him out of the picture, and God will begin to bring down judgment upon this land, and He already is. And so we need to be awakened, and we need to take a look, and today we're going to look at that a little bit. We're going to look to see how the founding fathers of our land looked at the need, the necessity of knowing the Creator, the freedom to worship as we see fit. We come together, and here at Parkview Bible Church, we stand upon the Word of God. We believe that there's only one means of salvation, and that's through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you must come by faith to Him. He died on the cross. He took my sins away. He shed His blood there for me. He was the perfect sacrifice. The Word of God teaches us that, and I stand upon that and know all I need to do is to come by faith to Jesus, and He'll save me. He'll not only save me, but He'll keep me. The Word of God teaches us that. First thing that you need to do after you have trusted in Jesus as your Savior is to follow Him in baptism. And it's scriptural baptism, not sprinkling, scriptural baptism. A lot of people kind of make a joke about, well, how much water does it take? Well, it takes enough water so that you can go down into the water and back up again. And the reason for that, it's a picture. It's not a requirement for salvation. Many religions and churches teach that. I do not believe that the Word of God tells us that. But you see, we have a freedom. If someone else wants to teach that, they can teach that. I'm going to stand upon the Word of God and what it tells me. It tells me that we have the opportunity to come by faith to Jesus Christ. It's a free gift. He gives it to us. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you see, then we have the opportunity to testify, and God has given us, through His Word, the baptism to do that. And you stand into the water, and you it's the old self, the old flesh. You go down into the water, it pictures dying with Christ, and coming up out of the water pictures the resurrection. What a beautiful picture. Can't do that with sprinkling. Again, it's no required. God commands us to do it. But it's not required for salvation. The thief on the cross was not baptized. And you look to the Word of God, and it says you must believe and be baptized. But he that believeth not is damned. It doesn't say anything about the baptism, you see. And we need to trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. I hope that you do that. But isn't it wonderful that we live in a free land, that I can preach what the Spirit of God has taught me out of His Word? I can teach that. I can preach that. And if someone wants to preach something else, they have the right to do that. But you're going to find here that the founding fathers never intended any kind of separation from this our government and God. God's the creator, And they can't imagine, it's beyond their thought that someone would try to take the Creator out of the picture. And yet that's exactly what's going on today. Let's take a look here back in Joshua. I had you turn to Joshua earlier. Let's take a look here at Joshua. Joshua chapter 23. We're going to begin with the sixth verse here. Joshua 23 verse 6. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. Listen to this, verse 10. One man of you shall chase 1,000 for the Lord your God. He it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. Take good heed thereof, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. Else, if ye do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriage with them, and go in unto them, and they to you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourge in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. In reading those verses of Scripture, we're looking at something 3,400 years ago. And God put it into place, gave it to Joshua. They've just taken the promised land. If you're not real familiar with it, they come out of the bondage in Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, went to Mount Sinai, received the Ten Commandments. Most folks know that, but most folks don't realize that they also received the tabernacle, the plans of tabernacle. And you see, the plans of the tabernacle is such a beautiful picture of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. A beautiful, beautiful picture. I love studying that. And so, see, when the law come and condemned, God sent grace. He sent salvation through the means of this tabernacle. A picture, a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus. But this is about 1,400 years before Jesus was born. So it's about 3,400 years ago. Most today do not realize, and this is the reason that I've said it many times over the radio program and from the pulpit, that this country, this land, must stand for Israel. Because you see, Israel is the only promised land. Palestine, it's the only land that God, the owner of the land, has ever given to a people. You know, I own some land, but it's on loan. I mean, I'm just the tenant. I don't own it, because God, the Creator, has not given me a specific piece of land. He gave a specific piece of land to Israel. He gave it to them and gave them the power to drive the enemy out and to stand. Now, today, we are beginning to stand against Israel. And if you want to see this land and this country go away, be destroyed, that's one immediate step, and that is that we turn our back on the sweet nation of Israel. We can't do that. Those are God's people, and God tells us very clearly in His Word that if whoever curses them will be cursed. Whoever blesses them will be blessed. We must bless the nation of Israel with our presence, with our help, with all we can do, because the God of Israel is our only means of salvation. Please understand that. Look to see what these verses of Scripture here had to tell us. Because when we look at these verses of Scripture, we find, "Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do." We need to study the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God. Joshua said, please, you must do this. And I love that 10th verse because, you see, why do you think that we have become such a mighty, powerful nation? Because it is a Christian nation. And we have stood for Christ. We know the Creator. But now we have a generation that begins to deny the Creator. They see no need for salvation. The churches have stopped preaching the gospel. They have begun to be more of a country club fashion than the church. And so we need to stand for Jesus Christ. Because I like those, I like that combination. I like that formula. I like the odds, I guess would be a best word. One man of you shall chase 1,000 because the Lord your God, He's going to fight for you. I want God on my side. I don't want to fight against Him because I guarantee you, you lose when you fight against God. And we're finding today that we have in our land, in the leadership of this land, folks that deny God. They deny Him. And I am fearful of afraid of what's going to happen to this nation. Because as we stand, as we continue to seemingly lose our power in the world scene, the reason is because we're becoming more and more God-denying, a God-denying people. It's not going to be long. The existence of the United States will be no more. I love this country. This country was built upon the Word of God. And we need to stand and stand true to it. We have left that. Know for a certainty, verse 13 says, that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you. Now this is to the nation of Israel. This is to the nation of Israel. But God blesses any nation that stands with Him and walks with Him and looks to the Word of God and follows it very carefully and prayerfully. Now, as we look at the 24th chapter of Joshua, I want to show you what God has done for this nation, this small, tiny nation of Israel. I give an example many times. And I hope that maybe it's good, it'll help you. But the lead end of a pencil on the globe we have here at the church, the lead end of the pencil is the size of the nation of Israel. Why does anybody care about the nation of Israel? It is so tiny. They have no oil. They have nothing to offer. Why does anyone care about that little tiny piece of property? Now, I think we may find that there is something of great importance there, and we know it is. God chose it. It's the most fertile land in all the world because God chose it for His people, gave it to them. But because they have been disobedient, it's become a barren land. We have seen in the last few years that it continues to bring life. They have irrigated some land. You can see just a small portion of what was there when they arrived. We need to stand for our God. And the promises that were given to this little tiny, tiny nation, God has held His word, kept His word. They haven't, but God has kept His word. I want to show you just a few things here in this 24th chapter, what they have gained. I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him through all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed. I gave unto him Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. I sent Moses also and Aaron. I plagued Egypt. I did among them, and afterwards I brought you out. In other words, he brought all the plagues to Egypt, and I've delivered you. I brought your fathers out of Egypt. Verse 7. God put darkness between you and the Egyptians as he was bringing them out. The Egyptians changed their mind and was coming after them to destroy them. And God had brought darkness between them. And then I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. And they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand. I destroyed them from before you. I would not hearken unto Balaam. I delivered you out of his hand. Verse 11, the end of verse 11, I delivered them into your hand, and that is all of Jericho and the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Gashuites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. I delivered them all into you at this same ratio that God speaks of over here back in the 10th verse of the last chapter. I gave you the land for which you did not labor. I gave it to you. The only people that got a land. Isn't it wonderful to look at what God has given them? And now down the 15th verse. And if it seem evil unto you, see, Joshua gives them a choice. If it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And again, we must make that decision. It is your choice, but we must make that decision. We have much history, and when we look into our history books, we find that our founding fathers had learned from many. One, his name is Cicero. He studied law in Rome and was a philosopher in Athens. Well, that doesn't sound like something I would quote, does it? He was born in 106 and died in 43 BC. We find that this Cicero is a man that the founding fathers really they studied, as well as many, many others. And here's what they found from him. Cicero defines natural law as true law. He says that true law is right reason in agreement with nature. It is of universal application, unchanging and everlasting. It summons to duty by its commands and averts from wrongdoing by its prohibitions. It is a sin to try to alter this law, nor is it allowable to repeal any part of it. And it is impossible to abolish it entirely. We cannot be freed from its obligations by senate or people. We need not look outside ourselves for an expounder or an interpreter of it. And there will not be different laws at Rome and at Athens, or different laws now and in the future. But one eternal and unchangeable law will be valid for all nations and all times. And there will be one master and ruler, that is God, over us all. For he is the author of this law and its enforcing judge. Our founding fathers knew that, stood on that, trusted in that. Let me share with you just a few moments here what Benjamin Franklin, in his understanding of the need of this. There are 5 points of fundamental religion that he is stating here. Number one, there exists a Creator who made all things, and mankind should recognize and worship him. The Creator has revealed a moral code of behavior for happy living which distinguishes right from wrong. The Creator holds mankind responsible for the way they treat each other. All mankind live beyond this life. In the next life, mankind are judged for their conduct in this one. All 5 of these were the thought, the general understanding, the beliefs of all the founders. And they begin to call it the religion of America. And they knew that good government and happy government of mankind could come and would come if people would follow this law and these rules. We find that John Adams called these general principles on which American civilization had been founded. Thomas Jefferson calls these basic beliefs of principles in which God was united in us all. As we look at these precious words, we need to understand and without question know that our founding fathers stood upon the Word of God. They stood upon the Word of God. You know, we sing, and I enjoy singing, the Star Spangled Banner. And most, and I won't sing it for you, and you'd be very happy about that. But listen very carefully here to these words. Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly was we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight over the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare and the bombs bursting in air gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave over the land of the free and the home of the brave? Verse 2, this is the one that no one ever has. Oh, thus be it ever, when free men shall stand between their loved homes and the war's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land, praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must, when our cause it is just, and this be our motto, in God is our trust. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave over the land of the free and the home of the brave. The first one said and gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave? The second part of that, and this is our motto, in God we trust, and the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave. There's only one way that our precious flag is going to wave, and that is if we give the honor and the glory to our God. Now, we have an opportunity in this land to worship as you wish. The general statements of our founding fathers allowed that. It allowed me to stand in the pulpit and say that I believe Jesus Christ is the only means of salvation. And we have always taught here that if you do not want to look to the Word of God and study it as we do, then go somewhere else, because you'll probably find somebody that will. Because we're not changing. Yes, the Word of God is a living document, but its words are non-changing. It applies to your heart a little differently each day, but it's never changing. It's true. It's perfect. Don't try to change it. I stay with the King James Version because I want to stay with something that's solid and sound. I don't use the new ones. You hear most preachers have changed. Many have moved to others. We stay with the Word of God, and we preach the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. We sing those beautiful, beautiful old hymns that just tear your heart out when you're reading them, because it touches you so. And it's so important that we let the Word of God change our hearts, change our lives, and stand up on our God today. Now, so must our nation. They must stand and understand that our God, the only God, as Joshua said, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Let's make those decisions. You in your house today, make the decision. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I ask that you do this on this day of independence, the 4th of July. I hope today that you trust in Jesus. What a birthday. You'll have a lot more to celebrate than the freedom of this country if you would trust in Jesus today and ask Him to take your sins away and come into your heart and save you. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?